Cherokee.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
The general sense of things that I got from talking to some Georgia fans yesterday, getting some social media messages from some Georgia fans on the heels of Georgia hiring Matt Luke as its new offensive line coach to replace Sam Pittman, who's now the head coach at Arkansas, the general consensus was just a few short words. Finally, some good news. And I know it kind of feels that way, right? When Georgia loses a game to LSU, when Georgia loses a coach that everyone loved, there's a tendency in that moment to feel like that unhappiness and sadness is kind of a static situation and it's never going to improve. It's never going to get better. I told you it would. I told you there'd be good news to talk about again. I told you there'd be fun stuff to cover. And here we are just a couple days later, and it is happening. You know, listen, I even said this, that speaking here not as an analyst or a show host or anything like that, but just as a simple Georgia fan, I was really, really careful in how he talked about Matt Luke prior to him being hired. There'd obviously been a lot of online chatter connecting him to the Dogs, but it was one of those things of, as a fan, I didn't want to get my hopes up on this until it actually happened. And as the host of this program, I didn't want to unfairly raise your level of hope in this and the chance that it ends up kind of fizzling out. Because a lot of times in football, it seems like when there's a job opening, there's the first two or three names that everybody knows, and then ultimately ends up being an up-and-comer from Talladega Tech who actually gets the job, you know. So I didn't want to sell y'all on former SEC head coach sliding in to become Georgia's offensive line coach until there was, you know, a lot more, I guess, reasonable fodder to suggest that was true. But ultimately, it actually ended up happening before we had a chance to even start connecting too many of those dots. And I think this does speak to the strength of the Georgia program. There's obviously a lot about Georgia right now that the people within the program and the fans of the program wish was a little bit different. Georgia's not playing in the college football playoff. Dog fans wish they were. Georgia maybe wasn't perfect in every aspect of its execution this year. Georgia fans obviously wish that it was different. The coaches and players within the program wish that it was different. But the strength of Georgia is undeniable. And acting as quickly as Georgia did to replace as important and key a figure as Sam Pittman was, I think this does speak to the strength of Georgia. I'll show you on Twitter, for those of you watching on video anyway, the official announcement from Georgia on this. Welcome Matt Luke here and going to make his home now at the University of Georgia as Georgia offensive line coach. Most recently, the head coach at Ole Miss. Jeff Sintel had a couple of good stories about this at DogNation.com yesterday. In one of those, he got some information from some of the Georgia recruits, current commits, about how they feel about Luke being a part of this program. And you can read the entire story for yourself at DogNation.com. I do want to read you, though, one line from Mike Braun. Mike Braun is Josh Braun's dad. Braun, the offensive lineman from Florida, who's a UGA commit, he's forced to reconsider his decision now. We certainly understand why that is. But in terms of how a Luke hire resonates with some of the dads involved in this stuff, Mike Braun says it this way. You can read the full story at DogNation.com, but here's the quote from the elder Braun. This is a slam dunk hire, he says. Matt Luke is a great hire for the University of Georgia and a great offensive line coach. Hated everything that happened to him at Ole Miss. He is a great football coach. That's Joshua Braun's dad, Mike Braun, as quoted by Jeff Sintel at DogNation.com. I'll invite you to read the entire story for yourself at DogNation.com. So I think the way that Mr. Braun says this is pretty pretty well said. Slam dunk hire. You don't wish Sam Pittman out the door, but if you're forced to replace him, you want someone that has the credentials, the pedigree of Luke, someone who's been instrumental in big recruitments. Greg Little comes to mind here. Someone who's helped develop the offensive line position there at Ole Miss, and someone who I think, when he goes and does an in-home visit with the Braun family, when he goes and does an in-home visit with Tate Ratledge, hosting Ratledge for an official visit this weekend, when he travels out to Texas to talk to Chad Lindbergh, or Cedric Von Prawn in Louisiana, or Broderick Jones, or any of those guys. I think one of the things you're going to see is that it's a different kind of personality. I liked what our buddy Jeff also said on Twitter yesterday about kind of a new version of "Yes, sir," that sort of classic catchphrase line for Sam Pittman. That's what he became known for. Luke's going to go about his business in a slightly different way. But in terms of the overall recipe that was successful for Sam Pittman, using relationships to help win in recruiting, I think you're going to find out that Matt Luke honestly ends up being very much the same kind of guy. In fact, let me go back to 2018 for a moment. And it was a press conference to start kind of like that season, like the end of summer press conference, kickoff to the season press conference. Matt Luke was kind of moving from interim coach. Now he's the head coach at Ole Miss. And he was being asked about the transition from, hey, you know, you've been an assistant coach, now you're the head coach. What's that transition like? And I want you to listen in the midst of this answer, the phrase that Luke uses a couple of times. If you ask me, both as a fan who wants the best for Georgia, but just kind of an analytical mind who is looking for a certain kind of thing from a coach that would potentially predict his chances at success, when it comes to being a recruiter in the SEC, a top-shelf, high-quality recruiter, the thing that Luke apparently values, I think, is the most important aspect of that at all. Of all, here is Matt Luke going back to 2018. You'll like this.
That's the part I enjoy. I enjoy the relationship part of coaching. That's, to me, that's what I'm good at, and that's what I enjoy doing. And it's just a much more broader scope and getting to know more people instead of just focusing on three or four. You're more worried about the big picture, but it's all about building relationships, and that's the part I like.
I mean, in a short clip there on the transition from being a position coach to a head coach, what Luke says is, hey, things really haven't changed for me as much as you might think. I've always enjoyed the relationship building, and I'm still doing that now. But in the midst of that, he goes to relationship building twice within just a couple short sentences. And y'all, you've heard me say it before, and I'll say it over and over again. That is the key to success in recruiting. It's not cool edits on Twitter. It's not clever hashtags. It's not branding and, you know, things along those lines. That's not ultimately what works. You are either a coach that is comfortable in your own skin, can look a father in the eye, look his son in the eye and say, trust me with your life for these next 3 to 4 years. I'll help develop you. I'll help get you where you want to go. I'll help do all this kind of stuff. You're either the kind of person that can do that or you are not. And for the Josh Braun's and the Chad Lindbergh's and the Tate Ratledge's and all those guys who are now nervous about their college situation because they don't get a chance to play for the coach they thought they're going to be able to play for, if Georgia has any chance of re-winning those recruitments, if Georgia has any chance of convincing those guys that Georgia is still the best place for them, Matt Luke's ability to quickly forge a relationship, or in some cases further a relationship that he kind of already has. He already knows Cedric Von Prahn a little bit, for instance. If Georgia has any chance of winning those recruitments, then relationships are ultimately going to be the most important thing. And I think I could play you a million clips that kind of show this to be the case. We'll talk to someone who knows Luke well in a moment. The idea of being good at building relationships, I think, is something that Matt Luke has proven over time. And from that standpoint, I think the Georgia fans ought to be happy to have him. Now, let me kind of shift gears on a similar topic, but at least kind of changing the scope of the conversation for a moment. While I am excited about Luke at Georgia, I think you ought to be excited about Luke at Georgia. While I'm eager to see how quickly this hire pays dividends for the Dogs, I don't want to undersell the nature of the challenge that Luke has in front of him. There will be a lot of negative recruiting out there about Georgia now that Pittman's not there. A lot of programs using this as their opportunity to maybe try to get in with some offensive linemen that they would not have been able to get in on before had Pittman been in place. And an example of that also comes from a story that Jeff Sintel has written at DogNation.com. Broderick Jones, the big-time five-star offensive tackle, a potential replacement for a guy like Andrew Thomas, one of the real elite prospects of any position for the 2020 class. It certainly seems like the absence of Sam Pittman has opened a door for others in the recruitment of Jones. Source close to Broderick Jones telling Dog Nation this, that he, meaning Broderick Jones, loves it at UGA. But this, meaning Sam Pittman's departure, does put Auburn in the race. You can read more about Broderick Jones' story at DogNation.com. Now, there's a part of me that wonders, given the fact there was not total certainty on whether Jones was going to decide in December, a chance that he may have held his recruitment out to February as it was, you know, you almost wonder, had Auburn made some ground up on Jones even prior to Sam Pittman leaving? But it's really interesting to hear a source close to Jones saying kind of in pretty clear terms that Pittman not being here opens up for a school like Auburn, who you better believe is going to be working hard to make its pitch, working hard to sell Georgia right now is not the place to be. So that's the challenge that Matt Luke has in front of him. And obviously Luke wouldn't be signing up for this job if he wasn't ready for that challenge. I think this is a guy that Georgia can bring in that has pretty sterling credentials. Even if the overall tenure as head coach at Ole Miss wasn't a successful one, this is a guy who's been to the top of the SEC. This is a guy who's worked with a lot of really good offensive linemen. This is a guy who is just sort of a natural builder of relationships. I can't guarantee you that all the linemen that George is going to try to re-recruit and re-win commitments from, I can't guarantee you that all those dominoes topple in George's favor, but you couldn't really be asking right now for a better person to go about that task than Matt Luke. Next few days going to be a fun ride. 2020 class coming to an exciting culmination and a new name in the mold, in the fold for all that with Georgia. It is Matt Luke, and I can't wait to see how he does. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We're presented today by Harrah's Cherokee Casino Resort, and we're glad to have you with us. No matter how you get to us today, live on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Radio Noon, Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and as a podcast, wherever you find them, Apple, Google, all the different podcast players, worldfamousdognation.com as well. Just really glad to have you with us, and really appreciate Harrah's Cherokee Casino Resort for making it all possible. You know, there's a couple different locations. They're both less than a three-hour drive from Atlanta. Whether it's the original Harrah's Cherokee Casino Resort or the new Harrah's Cherokee Valley River, both of these locations are, you know, just great, great spots, huge gaming area, luxurious accommodations. At the Harrah's Cherokee Casino Resort, they've got over 1,100 rooms, more than 10 dining options. They got a spa and kind of everything else you need for just a really fun getaway. And the book is coming, Sports Gaming Coming to Harrah's Cherokee Casino Resort. If you're watching on video, you can see the website to go to on your screen. If you're listening radio podcast, just search the book at Harrah's Cherokee Casino Resort, and you can find out more about that. It's a really fun thing to think you can take a short drive up to the Harrah's Cherokee Casino Resort properties and place your sports bets here coming up pretty soon. That's going to be a lot of fun. We appreciate Harrah's Cherokee Casino Resort for being part of our program here today. I'm going to get more on Matt Luke in a moment. I'm going to bring in a buddy of ours, Nick Suss, who has covered Luke for the Jackson Clarion Ledger and recently wrote a very interesting story on the aftermath of Luke's departure from Ole Miss and the potential that some players would have walked out because they were so upset about Luke no longer being the head coach there at Ole Miss. Nick knows the Luke story well, and he'll do a good job of telling that to us here coming up in just a couple of moments. Before that, let's go around the doghouse, brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia. And as you know, the wide receiver position for Georgia has been a little bit of a source of concern for Kirby Smart. Heavens knows that's been the case for Georgia fans. Let me give you a reminder going back to the SEC championship game. Another one of those games where there were some drops. Another one of those games where some offensive stalling was kind of thrown at the feet of the wide receivers. And Kirby was pretty clear that in some respects, Georgia not getting it done offensively this year, wide receiving play was kind of a part of that. Here's what Smart said.
You have an offense built around the players you have. So you take the players you have and you use their strengths. Well, with the players we have certain strengths. We usually have good pass protection. We have a good, you know, offensive line. We've got good backs. But our ability to run the ball has not been consistent this year. And people can say, well, Coach Smart wants to play man ball. Coach Smart wants to win. And we threw the ball 42 times. Now, you can say it was because we were behind, but we threw the ball early in the game. And we had some drops, we had some misses, and it's not a matter of what is your offensive philosophy, it is what is the best way to win the game.
So I've made it pretty clear the last few days, I think there's been too much blame placed on the wide receivers for why the Georgia offense hasn't performed better than it has this year. I think by a degree or so, there's been too much of that. However, I won't deny that for Georgia to win more in the future than it has this year, it probably needs a deeper crop of better receivers. There's a way for two things to be true at once. You can blame the group too much for the failings of the offense this year, but at the same time, you can't deny that more depth at that position, a greater number of quality players at that position is really, really important. And that's going to be, along with the intention of retaining some of the UGA offensive line commits, another one of those big stories for Georgia as it heads towards the start of the early signing period next Wednesday is what it does at the receiver position. And there's some interesting news to get to today, and I'm sure we'll talk more about this on Before the Hedge is presented by Kroger later on this afternoon. But Arian Smith, a four-star wide receiver, guy that Georgia has been battling with really down to the wire with some of the top programs in college football, Clemson, Alabama included, we now know that the wait for Smith won't last much longer. He puts it out on Twitter that he will be signing in December. That's Arian Smith on Twitter. And I think just given the nature of this announcement, given how hard I think that Georgia has been pushing for him, the fact that he's ready to make his decision now is probably a good thing for Georgia. The comparison you hear with Smith over and over again is that Mecole Hardman speed. Smith, in addition to being a football player, is also kind of a world-class track guy as well. The one thing that Georgia's receiving corps this year, even some of the better performers for the Dogs, the receiver position, that was there was just kind of this overarching sense that the Georgia receiving corps lacked speed. Well, Arian Smith doesn't lack speed. He's got it to burn, no pun intended. And if Georgia can win this recruitment, then that will take a big step towards upgrading that receiver position for the future. This is a story to watch. It's Around the Doghouse. It's presented by Engineered Solutions of Georgia. And, you know, when it comes to a cracked foundation, any kind of foundation issue, when it comes to a waterproofing issue or a, you know, some sort of, you know, wet, damp spot kind of sneak into your basement, those are problems that you may have. And the great news is that Engineered Solutions of Georgia is a solutions-based company. And sometimes those are simple fixes. Other times they're more complicated. Well, any kind of foundation or waterproofing issue you might be facing, you know, anytime you're dealing with something like that, Engineered Solutions of Georgia is always the right choice because they have two full-time engineers on staff. They can help give you the peace of mind you need to get these really important issues fixed. They also have a very easy number for you to remember. You can get in touch with them by simply dialing 678-ESOG now. Dial 678-ESOG now to get you in touch with Engineered Solutions of Georgia. They offer a fully transferable triple protection warranty on materials, installation, and design. Our friends at Engineered Solutions of Georgia are the only ones we would trust if we were dealing with any kind of foundation or waterproofing issue. Our advice to you would be to reach out to them as well. Dial 678-ESOG now, and that'll get you in touch with Engineered Solutions of Georgia. All right, later on the today's show, I want you to hear from Richard LeCount from postgame in the SEC championship game this past Saturday. LeCount apparently very excited about the Sugar Bowl, and what he says about that, I think will get Dog fans excited as well. We'll hear that from LeCount later on, but for now, here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Harris Cherokee Casino Resort, let's find out more about the Matt Luke hire as Georgia offensive line coach. Let's bring in our buddy Nick Suss from the Jackson Clarion Ledger. And nobody knows the scene in Oxford better than our buddy Nick Suss, and it's great to have him here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Harris Cherokee Casino Resort. On the day after Georgia's made a pretty big hire, Matt Luke to replace Sam Pittman as offensive line coach. Nick, first of all, thanks for your time. Welcome into our program. We appreciate you spending some time with us and hope you're doing well.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
So a couple different things I want to talk to you about. Let me first of all kind of begin with something I was mentioning about Luke before you joined us. The best sense I get of Matt Luke is, not knowing him personally, but seeing him on TV, hearing some of the things that he said before, this seems to be a pretty good builder of relationships. I don't have to tell you how important that is for recruiting, but Luke comes across as a likable guy, and the best I can tell, the people close to him do like him. Is that the sense you got from covering him for the years that you did?
Yeah, I think probably the easiest way to describe the type of relationship builder Matt Luke is when he was recruiting his first couple of classes as the head coach at Ole Miss, he only could recruit on relationships because there was no bowl prospects. They were on probation. They couldn't go to the SEC championship. None of that was on the table. He was pretty much promising kids, you'll play for me, and I will trust you. And when he got fired, I talked to a lot of players who said stuff along the lines of, if the coach they bring in next isn't about family and isn't about preaching relationships, they're going to be in for a tough time, because that's what this team at Ole Miss was built around, was Matt Luke saying, hey, we are one family, we are here together, and that's what kind of kept the program together when other schools or other coaches might have lost a giant exodus of players and not been able to sign any recruits. Matt Luke kind of recruited 2 years of players just on, trust me, we'll get along.
And obviously a story that you wrote kind of along those lines that got a lot of attention was after Luke was dismissed as coach after the Egg Bowl this year, there was some scuttlebutt among some of the players, according to some reporting you did, of, hey, they may walk out, they're unhappy about this. Would you mind kind of going into some more detail about what it was like immediately after Luke was let go and kind of what the player response was to all that?
Yeah, I think a lot of people were blindsided because about 2 weeks or 10 days before Matt Luke was fired, he got a vote of approval from the new athletics director. And I think some people in this business will know that a vote of approval sometimes is a kiss of death. But I think a lot of people did think Matt Luke had done enough to turn the program around from where it was when they went on probation to a program that seems to be headed in the right direction now. So a lot of the players weren't happy when they heard the news. About 10 to 15 of them walked out early, stormed out of the meeting, some might say. A lot of them were seniors, so let's not give the impression that there were too many players who were saying, oh, we're going to transfer, because they didn't have eligibility remaining. But there were some guys like Jerrion Ealy, the star running back, who walked out early. And there were a couple of other freshmen and sophomores that come to mind that I quoted in the story who said things along the lines, I don't know what the future holds. And that's kind of what happened, where he was so liked by his players that kind of committed to him instead of committed to a future with of success. These guys really wanted to rally behind him. They didn't seem to understand why the change was made when it felt like Ole Miss was headed in the right direction on the field. But I think a lot of the change had to do with what was going on off the field with ticket sales, fan reaction, and expectations dropping, which the school tried to right.
How much of what happened at the end of the Egg Bowl with the Elijah Moore celebration, and people have all seen this now, and you know, obviously, as you know, a lot of folks have had a lot of fun with this because it was such an odd thing to see on the field, him pretending to be a urinating dog. How much of that kind of falls at the feet of Luke, and was there a sense around Oxford that somehow Luke handled that situation the wrong way? How much did that play into ultimately him being fired by Ole Miss?
Yeah, I think there were two senses about that play. Two perspectives about that play that kind of blame Matt Luke. One is, it wasn't an original idea. DK Metcalf did the same celebration in the Egg Bowl 2 years ago, and there's absolutely no way that Elijah Moore didn't plan that, or that the receiving corps didn't plan that. So, some people believe Matt Luke should have stepped in and said, hey, don't do that celebration. Before the game, which he may have, and the players might have disregarded him, but that was one thing that people kind of felt was mishandled. And the other was, in his press conference, Matt Luke said something along the lines of, that's not who Elijah is, we're disappointed in him, we're this isn't what we expected from him. And I think there were some people who wanted him to come down harsher and be more authoritative and punitive about his thoughts on the matter, but as we alluded to earlier, that's just the kind of players coach that Matt Luke is. He didn't put the blame on one player for making one mistake, and when you combine this perception that maybe he didn't have control of his team with this lack of punitive nature when the play happened, I think a lot of people just thought, hey, this isn't the right guy to steer the direction of the team. And that wasn't a player perspective, but from a fan perspective, I can see why some fans might have thought that way.
Let me talk about Matt Luke as a recruiter here for a moment. You know, you can say what you will about the Laramie Tunsil recruitment, but to get Greg Little, and my understanding is that Luke was instrumental in that, and that's a major recruiting win, and the kind of thing that, you know, maybe doesn't happen in Oxford on the regular. I mean, there are some examples of some pretty significant recruiting wins for Luke with offensive linemen, which is obviously very important to my audience right here. Whether it be Little or other names you want to mention, he has had some success, you know, given the job that he was trying to recruit in, has he not?
Yeah, of course. And it's not just Greg Little. Last year they had another offensive lineman drafted, Javon Patterson, who's at the Colts right now. And they've had a pretty good track record in 2012 when that Luke came back to Ole Miss of having good offensive linemen. You mentioned Laramie Tunsil, Greg Little, Ron Patterson. There are a few others who I've mentioned, who I haven't mentioned yet, who I believe were all SEC or were invited to combine or ended up on NFL rosters or things like that. He is a gifted offensive line recruiter. He's a gifted relationship builder. And I mean, say what you want about Ole Miss, it is an SEC program with a lot of history.
Sure.
It doesn't have the resources that Georgia has. So he's never really recruited at a place like Georgia other than his 1 or 2 years at Tennessee. And even then, wasn't the resources that Georgia has now heading into the 2020 recruiting cycle. So I don't know if he's ever had this much accessibility. I don't know if he's ever had this much notoriety as a recruiter. So this might be untamed territory for him. But we'll see what he can do. He's always been a good recruiter, and now that you add the prestige of Georgia as well as the notoriety of a former head coach coming in and recruiting you as a position coach, that's always got to be something that has some value to these players, because they probably built relationships with him while he was at Ole Miss, and now they can combine that with the relationship they have with Kirby Smart and the impressions they have of Georgia's upward trajectory. So I think it's a good recruiting win for Georgia in that regard.
Let me just finish up with this. What do you know, or what should we know about him as a developer of talent? Obviously, the acquisition of talent is maybe the most important part of the job, but there's also the development of talent once guys get there, and the ability to kind of instill the belief in players that they will be developed once they get here. What do we know about Luke in terms of a developer of talent and actually kind of a coach and a teacher for this position?
That's kind of hard to say because, I mean, there are some players that we alluded to, like Laremy Tunsil or Greg Little. They're five stars. They're destined to the NFL. How much development is actually necessary? Then I look at this year's Ole Miss offensive line, and he wasn't the position coach, obviously, but he was heavily involved with coaching the offensive line throughout his head coaching tenure. And they had to replace three starters from last year. I think one of whom was a four-year starter, and the other two were drafted. And they ended up replacing them with a fifth-year senior who'd never started before and two fourth-year juniors who had never started before. So you end up with these guys who spent a long time developing under Luke, and the beginning of the season, the first two games were really, really rough. And then you got to week 10, week 11, and you looked up, and Ole Miss was the number one rushing team in the SEC and was top 10 in the nation at one point in rushing yards per game, and so that had to do with scheme. Sure. Rich Rodriguez was the offensive coordinator, and they ran the heck out of the ball, but there was a natural development of the offensive line this year of guys who had the talent to be on an SEC roster but had to wait a long, long time before they got their chance to start, and it started off really bad, and then it ended up pretty impressive. So I think that there is something to be said of him developing in season and him making adjustments in season. And you have to give some of that credit to Jack McNeil, who was the offensive line coach this year as well. But I think that's a pretty good indicator of Luke's ability to grow players on the fly and kind of see an improvement throughout a season.
Michael, Nick, really appreciate your time being a part of our program here today. Obviously, really good insight into Matt Luke. And for people who want to know more about the coverage you're doing there in Mississippi, other SEC stuff that you kind of got going on, how can people find you online?
Yeah, visit clarionledger.com. That's clarionledger.com. And feel free to follow me on Twitter at Nick Suss, NICKSUSS, if you want to read some bad tweets.
Nick, we appreciate it. We'll look forward to talking to you soon.
All right, thanks, Brandon.
Good stuff there from Nick Suss, Jackson, Clarion Ledger. Really interesting insight into Matt Luke, and I'll invite you to read some of the stories that he's written, including the one, maybe I'll put a link to this when I post the show at dognation.com a little bit later. There are really two things in particular that Nick says there that I think are really important for us to kind of kick around here for a minute. We will do that. Before that, let me remind you about my friends at Kroger, and there is a lot of fun stuff coming up with Coach Vince Dooley right now, and you can go to dognation.com and see more of this for yourself. He continues his book signing tour at various Krogers around the Atlanta area, including today from 5 to 6 p.m. at the Kroger in Dallas, Georgia on 455 Nathan Dean Boulevard. It's Nathan Dean Boulevard in Dallas here today. And then, of course, tomorrow going to be at the Kroger in Macon. It's 5928 Zebulon Road in Macon, also from 5 to 6 p.m. So a big one today, and then tomorrow, Dallas today, Macon tomorrow. But for the full list of Coach Vince Dooley book signings, check out the link right at the top of dognation.com, right there at the homepage. You can learn more about Coach Dooley being at various Krogers in the Atlanta area. Dallas today, Macon tomorrow, Coach Dooley showing up at some Kroger. So really fun stuff there as he signs some of his books, which makes for a great, great holiday gift for anybody on your list. So I thought that Nick said something really, really interesting, really a couple things, but one in particular I want to highlight right now. You heard me play the audio earlier of Matt Luke saying, I like the relationships part of this. I've said a million times, I'll echo it again, that that's the most important aspect of recruiting. And when Nick came on a moment ago, he said, hey, here's the thing you've got to understand about Matt Luke as a relationship recruiter. That's the only thing at Ole Miss he had to sell. You couldn't say, hey, we're going to go to blah, blah, blah bowl because Ole Miss was on probation. And frankly, in terms of the history and tradition, while Ole Miss is not absent of history and tradition, in comparison to some of the other programs it may have been recruiting against, there's nowhere near as much of that. So if Matt Luke was going to win with any recruits, he was going to have to use relationships to be able to do that. And the fact that he did as much as he did in that respect, I think that says something pretty good about Luke all the way around. Now, the flip side of that conversation is, yeah, well, what happened with the Elijah Moore thing? Is that an example of a lack of discipline? Was there a mistake being made there? Was it justifiable that Ole Miss wanted to move on from Matt Luke on the heels of maybe a, you know, kind of a tacky celebration thing that could have been prevented, maybe a loss to an in-state rival that could have been avoided had there just been a little bit more kind of buttoned up discipline at the end of that game? And, you know, I'm not in Oxford. I'm not living and dying with the Egg Bowl, you know, each and every day. I'm entertained by it. I think it's a nasty rivalry. This rivalry was nasty before Matt Luke got involved. It'll be nasty even now that he's gone. These two programs don't hate each other. They don't like each other at all, and they have kind of a less than classy way of displaying that from time to time. Luke's not the first one to kind of be associated with that. But the whole notion of, hey, he stuck up for Elijah Moore. He didn't criticize Moore too publicly in front of the media, kind of demonstrating him as kind of a player's coach. I think there's a place for that when it comes to your position coach. I mean, we all know what the idea, the notion of a good cop and a bad cop. I think that the sensible distribution of power and authority within a program is, it makes sense for the head coach to be the bad cop. Kirby Smart kind of comes across sometimes as the no-nonsense guy, the kind of guy that's not taking a lot of garbage, the kind of guy that's matter of fact. And you can't have every person in a program being that way. And I'm also oversimplifying Smart's persona by describing the way that I did. But to the extent that's true at all, you can't have everybody in a program be that way. Having a sort of player-friendly position coach, player-friendly assistant coach, the coach closest to these offensive linemen, closest to a lot of these players, all in all, I'm not quite so sure that's all that bad of a thing. I also thought Michael Porter had an interesting comment on YouTube a little while ago on the idea of being optimistic and positive about 2020 being a better season for Georgia. I absolutely think that the door is open for that positivity. I absolutely think there are plenty of justifiable reasons to say that Georgia acting as quickly to hire Luke as it did, by working as hard as it is right now to hold this 2020 class together, just the same way that good news popped up yesterday that Georgia fans weren't necessarily anticipating, there's going to be other good news to come here too. And pretty soon, I think there'll be lots of reasons for Georgia fans to feel pretty good about the overall direction of this program moving forward. Work to be done right now, but the idea of Georgia still being very much a contender in the 2020 season, doing the work to make sure that's true, I think you're about to see a lot of examples of that same thing.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Really appreciate Nick Suss joining us. I thought he was very interesting today. You can follow him more at the Jackson Clarion Ledger. Appreciate him being a part of Dog Nation Daily, presented by Harris Cherokee Casino Resort. Lots of SEC stories to get to before we hear from Richard LeCount on a topic I think you're going to like. Before that, though, let's remind you, as we go cruise around the SEC, it is brought to you by the folks who have redefined what a cruise vacation is all about, setting the standard since 1969, and now bolder than ever here as 2019 turns into 2020. It's our friends at Royal Caribbean. And as just a simple suggestion, how about the Oasis of the Seas? Completely amplified, made bigger and better than ever before, tallest water slide at sea, all kinds of nightclub, dinner, restaurant options, family entertainment, stuff for adults, just really anything you'd want. It's amazing, all the different amenities and fun stuff you can find on a cruise ship like this. And if you want to know more about it, check out RoyalCaribbean.com. Not only can you see all the different things that make the all-new Amplified Oasis of the Seas an incredibly fun vacation, you can also get in touch with a travel advisor that can help you get on the road to this vacation really, really soon. So check out more of that, RoyalCaribbean.com. All right, SEC through now, cruised around the SEC of the Royal Caribbean. Let me start with Chad Morris. It became official yesterday. Auburn has hired Morris, most recently Arkansas head coach, before that head coach at SMU, before that offensive coordinator at Clemson. This guy has a very close, friendly relationship with Gus Malzahn. Now, I think it's going to be interesting to see if Morris is offensive coordinator because of his enhanced credentials, the fact that he's been a head coach, the fact that he and Malzahn are pretty close to the same age, the fact that, you know, Morris wasn't a head coach in the SEC, for instance, is he given more freedom, more autonomy, more control than previous offensive coordinators have been given there at Auburn? Because let's not forget, you know, it was Gus Malzahn calling plays this year, but before that, there was all kinds of talk of, hey, giving control over to somebody else, letting somebody else have that opportunity to run the offense, and Malzahn was going to be more of the CEO-style head coach. But that never seemed to happen. It didn't happen with Chip Lindsey, despite the fact that Lindsey was kind of an up-and-coming name in the coaching ranks. It definitely didn't happen with Rhett Lashley, even though at one point in time, Malzahn made this big in-season announcement that he was giving the reins over to Lashley. Lashley, at least my read on that situation is, eventually got so frustrated that he left Auburn to go to UConn. Now, nobody does that typically of their own choice, but it just sort of seemed like a lot of people have had a hard time working underneath Gus Malzahn. Will Morris be different? Because of the credentials, there's reason to think that it might be. Now, as a Georgia fan, Morris would have also been one of the big names potentially available to the Dogs had UGA wanted to seriously consider making a change at offensive coordinator, which, let's be honest, a lot of fans wanted UGA to do. The other one's obviously Mike Bobo. The fact that Georgia will be playing against both of these offenses next season and for many seasons to come, as long as both these guys are employed, could potentially strike a stark contrast. Now, I have been pretty clear that I think that Kirby Smart has earned enough not to have to make the move against James Coley right now if he doesn't want to. And while I've got my problems with the Georgia offense, and most of those center around a coaching philosophy, I don't necessarily agree that Coley himself should be the scapegoat for all of that. So I'm not necessarily pro-firing Coley. But if Georgia wanted to bring in new ideas, the best candidates to bring in those new ideas, guys like Morris and Bobo, are guys that Georgia is going to have to compete against on the field. That'll make that comparison pretty interesting as we head towards 2020. So our Auburn here has made a pretty big hire. It always seems like, by the way, too, anytime you count Auburn out, you think that Auburn's on its way down, they find a way to hang around. Won the Iron Bowl this year. Malzahn lives on, and now he's making a pretty bold coaching hire that seemingly solidifies the foundation of that program. Pairing Morris along with Kevin Steele, it looks like a pretty good tandem of coordinators on the Plains, at least for right now. Speaking of Auburn, also getting a win yesterday in recruitment. Now, five-star running back Tank Bigsby, and I don't have to tell you that a lot of Georgia fans were hoping not to see this news, but Bigsby has now shut down his recruitment. Bigsby is now, and you see it there on your screen, he says, respect it or don't talk to me, he says. He is staying with Auburn. So if the door was open for Georgia and there had been some rumors that maybe Georgia was trying to get back in on Tank Bigsby after seemingly, I hate to say it this way, but maybe kind of slow playing him throughout the process, well, that door is now shut. If Georgia still is looking for a second running back for this 2020 class, it is not going to be Tank Bigsby. Bigsby is Auburn bound, and we'll have to wait to find out how big of a loss this ends up being for Georgia. But the stature of Bigsby as a recruit has grown as of late, and the relationship that Bigsby has with Auburn has seemingly only grown stronger. Now, another recruit heading the opposite direction is Robbie Ashford. Ashford, you'll remember, four-star quarterback out of Hoover. This was George Pickens' high school quarterback. Ashford was a big name on the recruiting trail for a while, and at one point in time, there was even some chatter that maybe a school like Georgia might have been interested in Ashford. Ultimately, he ended up committing to Ole Miss, and by the time he committed to the Rebels, it was sort of difficult to tell if he was how involved in all this recruitment George ended up being. Well, you see once again on your screen, for those of you watching on video, he has put out his message saying that he's moving on from Ole Miss, decommitting there. You certainly presume that the Matt Luke firing is big for him as he now looks around the offensive coordinator, Rich Rodriguez, he thought he'd be playing for. He's no longer going to be playing for. Ashford's one of those guys that, when you watch him on film, has a lot of spark to his play. He can throw the ball. He can run a little bit. I don't quite know who the next landing spot for Robbie Ashford is going to be, but this is a recruit worth watching here on the open market after hopping out of the Ole Miss class. So pretty big news coming out of Oxford there on that. We will make that cruising around the SEC, courtesy of our friends at Royal Caribbean. All right, so Sugar Bowl comes up for Georgia. And we all have kind of bad memories of this from Georgia's standpoint a year ago, where there were a lot of guys that seemingly just didn't really want to be there. At least one in DeAndre Baker just didn't play in the game all the way around. And, you know, there was the fear and the thought amongst many Georgia fans that the decision to do that had a deflating impact on the Georgia team, and that Georgia just went out there against Texas a year ago and was less than its best. Well, there's some reason to believe that maybe that won't be true here for this year's return to the Sugar Bowl against Baylor. Even though Baylor, probably a better team than Texas was a year ago, less high profile as a program, maybe some Georgia fans were even worried that there'd be even worse, you know, lack of commitment, lack of dedication to the game this year, given it's the second year in a row that Georgia finds itself in kind of the consolation prize bowl game. Well, a guy who apparently does not feel that way at all, and if you're a UGA fan, I think you're going to like this, I had a chance to ask Richard LeCount directly about his NFL future and his decision with the Sugar Bowl. While he's unsure about one of those topics, at least for now, when we talked to him Saturday night, he was quite clear about another topic. You'll like this from Richard LeCount.
You potentially have a big decision coming up. Are you going to play in the bowl game? Are you going to go on to the NFL?
No, I'm definitely going to play in the bowl game, and I decide that stuff when it happens. But next thing I'm looking forward to is our bowl game.
So LeCount's one of the team leaders. The fact that he's speaking as openly about that as he is, I think that sets a pretty good tone for the team overall. And I'll make a confession to you. For the most part, I didn't really care that Georgia didn't play well in the Sugar Bowl last year, that a lot of guys weren't that into it. And I know that may sound, sacrilegious, from a Georgia fan standpoint to not be more mad about that than I was. In the aftermath of that game, there were a lot of Georgia fans who were enraged by the way that Georgia played against Texas. And really on this show, one of the things that we did in the days after that was bring on guests, point out opinions, hot takes from people around the national media that for the most part completely forgave Georgia for how it played against Texas and for the most part excused that. Georgia still showed up very highly ranked in all the way too early top 25s that kind of popped up right after the bowl games were over. Georgia, for the most part, was not treated negatively by the media at large for having played badly during the Sugar Bowl. Georgia fans were mad about it. I wasn't necessarily among that group. However, even though that was kind of my opinion last year, there is a thought process to how you do anything is how you do everything. In other words, you can't pick and choose what matters. You can't pick and choose what to care about. You either care about everything and devote your best efforts towards, as Kirby Smart likes to say, attack the day each and every day, or you don't. And maybe Georgia's effort last year, performance in the Sugar Bowl last year, maybe that was a little bit of a negative harbinger for the level of readiness to compete at the highest level in a season like 2019. And ultimately some of the disappointment that Georgia fans felt after the Sugar Bowl, that became a little bit of a familiar feeling for Georgia during the 2019 season. Well, if you take Richard LeCount at his word, why would you not? Maybe there's a different kind of sense of that here in this year's bowl game. Maybe it's an opportunity for guys who are coming back to Georgia to start the next season with a nice foundation and a nice positive vibe of, hey, we want to prove how good we can be, and we want to set up the conversation for how good we will be next season. It's really nice to see Richard LeCount leading the way there in that regard. Something else that's really nice to see, and if you're watching a video, I know you do see this, hover helmets. They float suspended in midair. It's the Georgia G. It's the official Georgia helmet sort of floating and spinning, a perfect addition to your basement or your office or really anything else. Or for that hard-to-buy-for Georgia fan on your shopping list, there's really no better gift than this, and there's no better news for me to give you right now than the fact that you can get 20% off your Hover Helmet order when you go to hoverhelmets.com/DogNation. Now, when you're there, you have to use the promo code DogNation, but go to hoverhelmets.com/DogNation, use the promo code DogNation, you can save 20%. Now, for those of you who are always listening, you don't get a chance to see this, check out the website for yourself to sort of see what it's all about. hoverhelmets.com/DogNation, then use the promo code DogNation to save 20%. I really enjoyed hearing from Nick Suss on today's show. I think that's really a very good insight into what Matt Luke's going to bring to the table for Georgia. And I think it's a great way for Georgia to establish the momentum it needs as it gets ready to close out its 2020 class. These are going to be some fun days coming up. It's Jordan Burch on Thursday of next week. It's hearing news about potentially Jermaine Burton, potentially Arian Smith. It's working hard to kind of lock down some of these offensive linemen, including a Tate Ratledge official visit this weekend. There is going to be a lot of news coming, and I can't wait to talk about all that with you. Some of that happens this afternoon, 3 p.m., for Before the Hedge is presented by Kroger. I am really looking forward to being with Jeff Sintel for that one. I'm really, really excited about being back part of that again, so I hope you'll check that out. And I hope you'll be happy to know that it's now 1,138 days. That's how long it's been since those lousy, stinking Gators had beaten the Georgia Bulldogs. We'll see you tomorrow. Dog Nation Daily, presented by Harris Cherokee Casino Resort.